Yeah, so I'm a little emotional today actually, because this feels like a very thank you, Mary. Yeah. So hi there. Hi, Siska. Hi, Lauren. Okay. So let me just kind of gather myself. Sometimes the inspirations come so quickly, and it's almost like, how can I just, slow down to everything that's coming through? So, for those of us who are here, everyone, welcome, and thank you for being with us today. Today is day number 6 of our Coronavirus Miracles Healing online Zoom groups. And I was reflecting on this whole theme of separation that we have been talking about, and also about the theme of awakening from this dream of separation into the dream of forgiveness, or the of love and brotherhood and sharing and oneness and all of that. And I was thinking about what's happening on the screen with the coronavirus, everything we've been witnessing, the call for love, the seeming areas where there's all this suffering and separation and division. And I thought about my own life and, why today feels like a microcosm of the healing of this experience of separation. And I wanted to kind of explain what I mean there. So in my own life, I felt that it was like, Sima means boundary. It means a boundary. And I felt like my life was full of these seemingly different places that seemed to have these lines of separation. And I was like pushing the boundaries, trying to understand how this all comes together. It's like the glass that broke and how to bring it all together into a whole. And for me, those realms were within medicine, because I was within Western traditional medicine, but had this strong call to explore all these alternative healing modalities, all the ones that I studied, herbal medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, mind-body medicine, all of that. And then within my personal life, the India versus America, that was another thing. Like, what does it mean to be Indian? What does it mean to be American? And when I went through my divorce, how that boundary, that line really became, the seemingly judgments that I experienced from, more the traditional aspects of, you're not Indian if you do that, and then you're not American if you do that. And it was just like lots and lots of confusion. Of course, it was all my own mind, and that's the only way I was able to heal it. As long as I kept it out there, something out there that I needed to bring together, or something out there that I needed to convince or fix or do anything, it really didn't go very far. It really wouldn't work. But once I learned how to bring it into my own mind, I really saw so many miracles and witnessed so much healing. And so today, it's just such a beautiful moment for me, because I'm going to read about this Bollywood movie that talks about awakening from the dream of separation, that really elucidates the teachings from A Course in Miracles. And my parents are here to share in this. So it's really the merging of that East and West. And then also here in this, global pandemic, this, all my experiences as a medical doctor, like how the spirit is using that, but to convey those deeper teachings about healing in the mind. So I feel like, wow, like I would have never imagined that all these threads that seem to be so diverse were all purposeful. They were all purposeful. And all I was doing was following the call at every step. That's all I did. So this story that I'm going to read from you, it's a chapter in my book, Physician Heal Thyself, A Doctor's Journey from Medicine to Miracles. This story and this movie came to me really through my mom, because when we came to the States, this was in the 70s, there wasn't any awareness of really Bollywood or India. There weren't even many Indian stores. But, you know, our friends, they would make these tapes of Indian songs, like, because there would be this homesickness. You know, you come here, you don't know anyone, and you're all removed from all your family and relatives and all of that. And so the songs would be a way to connect. So we would have this, like, little cassette player. And my mom, in the evening, like, when she'd be done with her chores, she would just play it. And there was this particular song that I remember listening to, and I didn't know it then, but it was about awakening. And I didn't know those words at 7, 8, but something about that song always was so haunting and at the same time so soothing. So as I came to the teachings of the Course, I went, that song kept came again, and I went and watched the movie, and I was like, wow, I was blown away. I was blown away with all the symbolism. So today, I just want you to sit back and relax. And, you know, like, it's a Monday morning. Typically Monday we'd be in our, like, you know, overdrive, right? Like, you know, it's time to get back to work and get back to do all those things. But we're just going to be like little children, and we're just going to gather, and I'm just going to read you a story and just let it wash over you. I'm also just so grateful. In our Indian culture, we have this beautiful tradition of Ashirvad, and Ashirvad means blessings. And so we seek the blessings of our elders when we are going to embark on something. And really, all that really means is we join. We join with them. You know, they honor us, we honor them. And it's a joining of love. So my parents are watching this, and I'm just so honored that, you know, all these experiences that we had as a family, all the different struggles we faced, all the lessons of forgiveness, that this is like those moments, you know, that holy instant of culmination of all of it coming together. So I seek their blessings as I always do. And I'm so grateful for them today. I just wanted to express that. I love you, Mommy and Papa. I love you. Thank you. All right. So this is chapter 5. The title is Radical Forgiveness, A Way to Wake Up from the Dream of Separation and Reclaim Our Innocence. Yet forgiveness is the means by which I will recognize my innocence. And that was coming to me today, the idea of forgiveness and innocence as our, if you would say, one of my friends, Kirsten Buxton, she said, this is our superpower right now. This is our superpower to heal. And to really understand forgiveness, we really have to have an experience of innocence. While reading the Course sections about our false sense of separation, a song from a 1950s Bollywood movie about awakening floated gently into my awareness. I last heard this song when I was in elementary school. I didn't pay much attention to the lyrics, even when I found the song both soothing and haunting. When I watched the movie and heard the song, I was amazed at how the storyline echoed the Course's teachings about awakening from our dream of separation. The name of the movie, fittingly, is Jagte Raho, or Stay Awake. Stay Awake. The movie opens with the scene of a young man who leaves his village home in search of a better life in the big city of Bombay, today known as Mumbai. We never learn the name of the man nor the name of his home village. He could be anyone arriving from anywhere, searching for something more. He could be any one of us who dreams that we left our home in God or love for something else. According to the Course, this tiny mad idea never really happened. However, our belief in separation is so strong that it buries the memory of our oneness with love. Essentially, this memory is hidden away from our everyday awareness. After walking some distance, the man feels tired and thirsty. It is nighttime. He stops to drink water from a faucet outside a gated community patrolled by a watchman walking around the perimeter of the community shouting, Jagte Raho, stay awake, to keep potential robbers at bay. The watchman mistakes the man for a thief. Initially, the man protests his innocence, but then the spell of fear descends. He runs and hides as if he really were a thief. That he did nothing wrong becomes a distant memory covered by thick layers of fear and guilt. Essentially, he forgets his core innocence. So this movie was so beautiful because he's leaving something for something more. And that's what the Course says. We come into the world seeking more, like something more, the prodigal son, something more. And in that seeking more, we often experience a lot of suffering. Not because we're seeking more or there's anything wrong with how we might be seeking. It isn't so much the actions. It's that we are in forgetfulness, forgetting that the already more is here. And that forgetfulness is, it's like this thick, like a spell, like we're mesmerized. And as long as we don't do this inner healing work to expose that belief and bring it to the light, we will keep seeing those reflections played out. And this coronavirus is going right at those deep, deep hidden beliefs. It's going right to the roots. Everything that we felt could be our security in the world of outer form is up for a challenge. Everything. Everything. There is nothing that is being spared. You know, if we thought this could help us, hospitals, doctors, nurses, staff, vaccines, all of it, everything, there's a bit of like, well, what if that doesn't work, or it doesn't seem to be working, or there isn't enough, right? So all of that, the only place to go is, one of our participants yesterday said she saw this post on Facebook, can't go outside, so let's go within. And this idea of innocence. Rarely do we see ourselves or others as innocent. Usually it is quite the opposite. We find faults and shortcomings with everything around us and with ourselves as well. The Course lifts us beyond appearances of the relative reality of good and bad, love and hate, oppressed and oppressor, to a non-dualistic view of who we truly are, whole, innocent, and complete, changeless and timeless. Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, more than 2,000 years ago, referred to this as Atma or soul. Know this Atma, unborn, undying, never ceasing, never beginning, deathless, birthless, unchanging forever. Not wounded by weapons, not burned by fire, not dried by the wind, not wetted by water. Such is the Atma. The Course awakens the memory of our core innocence through a path of forgiveness. This is not an ethical or moral forgiveness where we forgive, but find it difficult, if impossible, not to forget. Rather, it is a radical forgiveness, a complete washing away of the false sense of who we think we are and who we perceive others to be, limited, flawed, and imperfect beings that need to be fixed, changed, and improved. The Course is not a curriculum in self-improvement. It's not about making ourselves into better people, but rather a call to self-remembrance. The self, capital S, that is pure, whole, and innocent within me, within all of you, within everything that we see outside. The self that needs no fixing, but simply awaits patiently our welcome and acceptance. Forgetting that he is innocent, we're going to return to the story, the man secretly enters other apartments in the building through terrace doors and open windows to escape from the mob that has gathered and is chasing him while shouting, chore, chore, thief, thief, right? It's like one person sees him, like one person says fire, everyone, the panic, right? And we're seeing that, right? We're seeing that voice that is that like adrenaline voice, and how quickly it can attract as well. And that's exactly what he witnesses. But it started with him because he forgot his innocence, right? He believed what the others were saying, you're guilty. Meanwhile, as he's been like trying to negotiate, you know, where to go and where to hide, he witnesses many other robberies, a man stealing golden bracelets from his sleeping wife to pawn for gambling money, a young woman in a clandestine affair with her lover. Another home in which, beneath the facade of a respectable business, the owners operate a counterfeit money factory. So here's all the projection and blame, right? They're seeing him as a thief, and all of this is also happening. The Course teaches that the world we perceive is the world of our beliefs. The man truly believes himself to be a thief. Thus, all around him, he sees more images of stealing, betrayal, and robbery. Ultimately, the man seeks safety inside an apartment flat that he enters through open balcony doors. There he meets a young girl with curly black hair wearing a white flowing gown. Hastily, he closes the doors behind him. The girl quickly runs and pushes the doors open. "You should keep the door open in the morning. How else will light enter?" Right? How else will light enter if you don't keep the doors open? The man pauses. He seems to remember that perhaps this night has all been a bad dream. The morning is here, and it's time to wake up. The girl studies him carefully. "Are you a thief?" she asks, her wide-eyed expression a mixture of wonderment and amusement. So she's just curious, right? She's just curious. The man falls exhausted to his knees in front of her. "Little girl, I've done nothing wrong. I'm not a thief. I've done nothing wrong." He breaks down, sobbing in despair. Now, this is his moment of release, because in the movie, he's been protesting his innocence. At one point, they're all after him, and he picks up a stick and he has to defend himself. So he's been in this defend, attack mode. But this little girl disarms him with her innocence. And finally, all the emotion, everything comes to the surface. And it's like, you know, we're coming down to our knees, and literally he falls to the ground. In the background, we hear the mob and their shouts of "Chor, chor." The girl gently wipes the man's tears away and helps him to his feet. So the image of the beautiful comforter wanting to wipe our tears away. The mob could enter any minute from the balcony door. She runs and opens the front door, motioning for the man to leave. The man walks with hesitation and stops at the door, turning to search her eyes as if for a final reassurance. So she points to the other door, and it's kind of like, I'm reminded of what, Joe, you had shared of the upside down perception. Like, we're being asked for solutions that might not be what we've been doing. Right? Like, the way he came in is not the way his freedom is going to be. So we have to depend on this inner wisdom to point for us where is the door out? And it's not where he might have gone out that way. But she even knows his safety. So she knows his innocence. She knows that he's done nothing wrong. And she knows the way to safety, and she points it to him. So the man walks with hesitation, because he's still... Actually, in the movie, what happens is he walks out, and there's like these policemen, because it's like this pandemic of fear. It's just, they're like everywhere. There's like, everyone is afraid, because in this gated, protected community, this thief has entered, and, you know, they could be at risk. So everyone is patrolling. Everyone is helping, searching. So it's pandemonium, not unlike what we're witnessing here. And so he sees that, and he sort of is like, oh no, the fear comes again. Right? Because he feels it. So he walks with hesitation and stops at the door, turning to search her eyes as if for a final reassurance. "Are you afraid?" she asks. "But you've done nothing at all. You've done nothing at all. You're innocent." She reminds him again. She just holds that place of innocence. The man smiles, almost sheepishly. He just needed to be reminded. Just like all of us, right? We just need to be reminded. He makes his exit. Outside, the mob swells with policemen who arrive to investigate. The man is oblivious and walks past the commotion as if it is not even a part of his awareness. So there's one point where he's walking, and there's like these policemen that are coming. And literally, like, you know, the Moses and the sea parting, like, it was that experience. He literally walks in between them, and they move from one side to the other. They don't see him anymore. He doesn't see them anymore. As the Course teaches, we are like little children groping in the dark, mistaking curtains for ghosts and shadows for dragons. But once we are willing to accept into our minds the light of the inner guide, represented in this movie by the little child. She's like the Holy Spirit character. We are no longer afraid. As the night recedes in the light of the morning, finally we awaken from the slumber of darkness inside our minds. The man now walks confidently and with conviction. His destination is certain. Nothing can harm him or prevent him from reaching his goal. Soon he arrives at a beautiful garden where a woman is singing a prayer of awakening while watering the plants and flowers. And the song, translated, is, "The one who lights the lamp of their mind will behold a world that is radiant and shining. The one who lights the lamp of their mind will behold a world that is radiant and shining. Do not depend on your physical eyes. Do not depend on your physical eyes. Arise, wake up." The woman sees the man and for a moment seems alarmed at the sight of his disheveled appearance. Then a smile spreads slowly across her face. He stretches out his cupped hands and she pours the water. There are no threatening mobs, no chasing policemen, no angry shouts. The dream of separation is finally over. At last, the man's thirst is quenched and he drinks it. Yeah, so I'd like to share a little clip of this movie with you, particularly the song. Now, the thing is that it's in Hindi and it doesn't have English subtitles. And for a while I thought, okay, maybe I'm not going to share it. But then today I came down and I listened to it again. And I feel that I've given you the story, I've given you the setup, and I've described it to you. And basically that's what you're going to see. It's going to start with him. The man is inside the space where he meets the little girl. She's going to comfort him. And when he wakes up, there are these photos of Mahatma Gandhi and Rabindranath Tagore and Vivekananda, all of these luminaries from the Indian tradition that, like, you know, represented that awakening of consciousness, right? Gandhi be the change that you would see, that you'd want to experience. And you will see this light from him and that sense of like the call, like, wake up, remember your strength. And then she's going to, you know, lead him. And basically everything I described, you're going to see. And I feel like without the words even, you're going to understand it. And as the Course says, a universal theology is not possible, but a universal experience is not only possible, but necessary. And that's the idea. We're going to transcend language today and go right into the feeling of that. And then afterwards, you know, you're going to hear the song about, you know, wake up, wake up. You're going to hear a chorus say that. And then the woman is going to be singing. And I'm just going to go with it and I'm going to trust that you're going to receive it. Okay. All right. So let me see how I can share this. Thank you. Let's just kind of settle in and go into a bit of a meditation, reflection, and just let these, a lot might have come up. Let's just bring it all into the altar, and then we'll open it up for a conversation. Okay? All right. So just let yourself be easy coming into this moment. Bringing everything with you right here. Nowhere that you need to go. Nothing that you need to do. It might feel like there are some pressing problems, pressing concerns, things that need to be addressed, things that need to be resolved. We are not denying that. But yet, we are wanting a permanent solution to our suffering. We are wanting to give ourselves permission that we don't know the way out of this suffering. But there is one within us that does. That that stillness within us has all the answers we need. So let us just take these moments together to be in that space together. There is nothing asked of us here, nothing we have to do, nothing we have to fix, nothing we have to plan or organize or order or secure. We can simply be and receive all the love and light and peace that is here for us, freely given to us. Our treasure inside our minds and hearts, waiting for us. The Spirit is saying, come, my beloved child, come, come and rest. If there's tears that you need to cry, let them come. Let them come. Don't hold anything back. There is nothing you have to hide. There is no judgment here. There are no accusations. No blame, no guilt, no shame. Only the arms of love. The strong arms of prayer. The Spirit says, I can hold all of this for you. You need not be alone in this. You are not alone. Lay down your burden. Rest your weary head. Allow me to hold you, embrace you. Rest as if you've never rested before. A love that you forgot and thought you had lost. But it has been kept safe for you. Because like the father in the story of the prodigal son, the father always knew the son would return one day. He would come home. He knew. Beautiful, beloved spirit within our hearts knows our needs on every level. Sometimes even before we do. And if we let him, her, it, or however you connect with this space, if we allow this space to replenish, restore, take care of us from the inside, then we will be lit from the inside and we will perceive a new world. That is the law of healing that we are learning. The laws of God, of oneness, of love. Let this space breathe you. Breathe your heart and your lungs, breathing them open. Sending that breath throughout your body. Deep, deep down to the core. The areas that seem uncomfortable, just be soft and gentle. No pushing, no forcing, just allowing. It is the will of the divine for our healing. So we are joining in the purpose of that one will, where there are no opposites, there is no division. Because love knows no opposite. How wondrous the healing of the mind must be if it is about coming inside. The light in one mind, lighting the minds of everyone around us. When I am healed, I am not healed alone. What a beautiful, mighty purpose we are gathering for. Just breathing, allowing, being present, being here, being available for whatever seems to come up, being willing to give it to the light, to give it for the purpose of forgiveness. And we can do this together. There is only one here, although it seems to be many. One mind, crying for healing, crying for love. And one answer, answering with love, answering with healing. Can you feel how the problem and the answer are all resolved in the same space? They are not separate. Everything is coming together for a unified purpose, unified perception. In this space, we can feel that all is truly well. All is truly, truly well. And we can trust in this. I'm going to conclude with the healer's prayer. We are here only to be truly helpful. We are here only to be truly helpful. We are here to represent him who sent us. We need not worry about what to say or what to do because he will direct us. We are content to go wherever he wishes, knowing he goes there with us. We will be healed as we let him teach us to heal. And if the words he or him are not comfortable for those of you who might be listening, we can always say that we are only here to represent love who sent us, and that love is working through us. Love is teaching us and guiding us and speaking through us. Okay. So thank you for the joining. Thank you for all the healing and your willingness. And whoever would like to comment or share, express anything with the movie or meditation or anything that's coming up for you. Hi, Hazel.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. So just want to start first by expressing my gratitude for this joining for this circle of support. Thank you, Seema, and thank you, Jesus, and everyone who's here. I just would like to share sort of some deep darkness that I have been holding, I think, ever since my incarnation in this life, and that is that of a separation. And I have a lot of shame around expressing this, but I feel that it's necessary to put this out on the altar because it's so divisive, and it's so it's just a sense of despair and loneliness that I have felt. Right from my my birth family, never really felt like I fit in there or that I belonged. And so it's been a lifetime of seeking, looking for that that light. And there have been moments. There have been times in my life where it's been very prevalent, and then it seems to and then more darkness, deeper levels of darkness seem to be washed up time and time again. And it's, I guess it's just, part of, you know, this coronavirus is meant to bring it forward and, acknowledge that I'm not alone in feeling this, and that we are collectively, being, asked to examine and to observe and to recognize that this is like that thief in the movie, that it's not real, and that the water of love is always there to put the spirit of the water of spirit is always there to wash away our guilt and our sense of separation. And so I feel this, you know, it's just been with me, and I want to put this on the altar to have it dissolved. I don't know if it can be completely dissolved in this lifetime, but I'm willing. And this prayer that is so foremost in my mind, I'm here to be truly helpful. And that the only, you know, the only truth that comes is that of love. And my ego wants to get in there and just mess it up. And I don't know how to speak from love. And my ego wants to believe that it knows best. And so it's a fight between the ego and the divine constantly, and what I share and who I share, who I speak with. Am I coming from a place of divinity, or am I coming from a place of control and wanting to be right? So it's this constant dance back and forth of wanting to be present and join, and then pulling away completely to be in the darkness because I don't really feel like it's what I have to say is supportive or that it will be received properly. I myself don't like to be corrected. I don't want to be told what to do, or, you know, it's difficult because then, you know, the ego kicks in again going, well, fuck you. You know, it's like, who are you to tell me what you think is in my best interest? So I guess I observe that, you know, that is how I've been, what I believed. It's my place to correct and to, so I'm at a place that I really don't know, and I'm willing to be shown. So thank you. That's where I'm at.
Yeah. Can I reflect back to you, Hazel?
Please.
Yeah. Okay, great. So I was really deeply listening to you because you really touched on something that I would imagine many of us are feeling, because, you know, we want to extend this love. We want to share it. And then how do we do it? Like the posts that are coming and people experiencing whatever their experiences. And so it's so beautiful if we can just, like, whoever, if it's a beloved one that you're in conversation with, right? That you can just be so transparent and say, just this, that I want to be truly helpful. But I'm not even sure how to be truly helpful. And what I'm doing for myself is this. And this is what's seeming to help me. And even then, like just to use I statements so that you're really just present and honest. Because in that, like, owning of that, before even stepping out to try to be helpful, you're going to be helpful right here. You're going to be helpful right here. And as you're helpful right here, it's going to shift your experience of that seemingly conflict that's coming up. It's going to soften it just by a hair. And it's going to be so powerful if you want to try this. It's an invitation, you know, I mean, there's nothing one has to do, but it's an invitation for us to, like, really... Because we're going to be triggered deeply during these times, you know, this is not going to be like this, you know, like that man, if you watch the whole movie, he went through like 2.5 hours of struggle. And then it was the last 7 minutes where he finally, that song comes in and he has a bit of relief. So think of, you know, like a making that into the macrocosm, you know, it seems to be a lot of that, but it's like, you're doing it. And when you start to express, you start to feel that this isn't in some future time that I will be truly helpful, or some future next moment or that moment. It's not like that. It's like right here, by you stepping into love, wanting to be in love, even when the ego is so much dragging you, you know, even then you're like owning that space, you know, you're owning that space. So if it's possible to just be honest, totally honest with, I seem to want to be helpful. I want to be helpful, but I seem to observe that perhaps it's not, or perhaps it's not being received. Like whatever it is, because it's like that thread, like we got to keep joining it. You know, like when you make a braid, you do one, and then if you do it, it can becomes a rope. It can get really, really strong, right? But if you just left it at one thread, it's not. So every moment when you feel the pull to separate from your beloved, every moment, let yourself feel it, let yourself be with it. And then ask spirit, I am separating. I am, like, everything is like transparent to spirit. Everything is transparent. And you can't do it wrong. You can't do it wrong. Every step, baby step that we take, honoring where we are and then reaching out is a beautiful step. It's like one link, one link. So you cannot do it wrong. You can't. You can't. There's no perfect way. There really isn't. There's no perfect way. It's like all hands on deck now. All hands on deck. It doesn't matter if this or this, everyone is needed. Every ounce of our strength is needed. So you can't do it wrong, and you want to honor all of your frustration, all of it. And even if it's just to yourself, like, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm experiencing. This is what it is. It's like the thief in the dark, right? The thief in the dark. So once the light is there, it's exposed. So I'm not sure if this will be helpful, but it's feeling like you're on the brink of a real opening, of more opening. And the ego will judge it as like somehow you're not doing it right, or you got to do it differently. So I just wanted to reflect that to you, Hazel. Thank you. Hi, Eric.
Hello. Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
I just have a quick comment in regards to what Hazel was speaking to. And I think that the thing that jumped out about your sharing was the willingness part, and that, I mean, that's it. That it's just the willingness part. And then also with everybody, just being gentle, you know, be gentle with yourself. And as long as you're willing, you can keep going back to that willingness at any point. And yeah, I mean, that's all I wanted to share. Thank you. Thank you for sharing, Hazel.
Anyone else want to share?
I just wanted to say something. Maybe you can expound on this. What true forgiveness really is. Because I think there's a, when we're trying to do our inner healing work, if we understand how the ego teaches forgiveness, we stay trapped. Because what the ego teaches us is that somebody has offended us, and we need to hold them accountable, and we need to judge them guilty. And so what we're doing is we are giving power to the belief in sin. And then the ego's definition of forgiveness is you have to condemn them, basically, but never forgive truly. Hold them accountable forever. And so that's that keeps us trapped. And we can think about that in terms of what other people have done to us or how we have interacted with the world, where we want forgiveness, but the ego teaches us not to forgive, really. It teaches us to hold on to grievances and hold people accountable and punish. The Holy Spirit has a different definition of forgiveness, where when you come up across things that are these dark places in your mind, whether it's a grievance against yourself or someone else, is to look past the grievance, to see what's truly here, to see that the child of God is truly here, and that the forgiveness part is seeing truth, seeing love in all situations, regarding whether they're whether they appear to be outside of yourself or if they appear to be within yourself, because everything is within. And so when we do true forgiveness, we don't hold people basically in hell, because the ego's forgiveness will hold you and this person in hell by judgment. And so you're kind of going to be above that and saying, okay, well, my feelings are hurt for some reason, but I want to be free of pain. And so you need to go to that level where there is no pain. And the Holy Spirit is here to help us get to that place. And so sometimes it feels like, I don't think I'll ever be able to forgive this person or forgive myself for what I've done or what I think I have done. And so that's what the Holy Spirit's for, is to help us transcend those chains that the ego has bound us to hell. Mm-hmm. And so when we allow true vision to replace our eyesight and begin to see the Christ in all of us, that's what true forgiveness is. That's what radical forgiveness is. That's what the Course teaches. And so it seems like it's like, how can that work? Mm-hmm. But once you start to try it and see that your pain is lessened and your grievances are reduced and you live more happy and joyful, you begin to believe that something's happening by utilizing the Spirit's definition of forgiveness. And you begin to live a happier, more joyous life. Eventually you get to the point where life becomes a lot easier. And when these feelings of darkness come up, you can recognize it not as a place where I'm going to go back in this darkness and kind of be in pain, but look at it as an opportunity to heal the mind. And it's not your mind, it's the mind. And so as you begin this true forgiveness work that is critical to awakening, you not only help yourself, but you help all of your brothers and sisters who are connected to this mind, who many probably have exactly the same types of fears, resentments, and guilt and grievances that you are in the process of letting go of by true forgiveness. And so you kind of shine the light into the mind and you become more happy and joyful, but without realizing it, you are helping many, many other people with the same exact problem. You are loosening that grip of darkness on the mind by doing your forgiveness work. So all I'm saying there is that try to truly understand what true forgiveness is, because it actually does release you from the pain that you are experiencing right now.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Joe. So I'll just add, like, it's really beautiful the way you expressed it, and I think it's helpful for all of us. And Hazel, you know, raised this beautiful of the darkness that's coming up, and I'm just kind of reminded of the movie where that man has been so in grips of guilt, like he's just been feeling guilt, and that gentle reminder from the little girl and how gentle it was, you know, the children will teach us, right? Like that little girl, just in her gentleness. So that forgiveness of the spirit, it's the self-forgiveness first of how I understand myself. Because once I can be shown that I'm hurt, as Joe was saying, I am feeling hurt, so I'm accepting it. And then the remedy for the hurt, the solution is where the problem is. It's also inside. And it's so right there, like it's right there, but the ego will not let you see it there. And so the cycle of, you know, the chain of blame and guilt and the ego's version of forgiveness continues and continues. So it's as Eric was saying, the willingness and the gentleness to honor whatever I'm feeling, to bring it into prayer, to ask, what does forgiveness mean here, Holy Spirit? I don't even know what it means. I don't want the ego's way. And I feel all of those that we're doing are loosening. So it's almost like I keep feeling that sometimes when we say we have lessons and lessons to learn, it can feel like really overwhelming. Like, how many lessons do I have to learn? Like, it just feels like, okay, come on, let's I'm done with this. But if we say, it's always that I don't know how much love Spirit has for me, and it's always a lesson to know more love, to know more love, that there is even more, that I felt this was, but no, there's no end. Then I feel like you're like, oh, this is like, you know, you're telling like a child he can have all the birthday cake he wants, you know, no one's gonna stop him. It's like there's an invitation for us that this is what this is for. So then my willingness is increased because something will come in. Okay, this is for your healing. On the other side of it is a miracle. You know, there's that quote in the Course, behind, next to every image of suffering stands a miracle in shining silence. You know, it's right next to it. It's not out there. It's not in the future. And we can even say that to the spirit. Okay, if this is what you teach me, sometimes I'll say that. Okay, if this is what you teach me, it's right here. I'm not feeling it right now. I'm not feeling it. I'm feeling this. But it's like you're in a dialogue with spirit. You are not going to do this alone. You have like, you know, you fire the ego as your teacher. Like you're not going to do this. You're not going to teach me. So, I feel it can be so gentle and so quiet and so right there that we can almost overlook it. And so in the mind training, we're learning to be with it, to ask. In stillness, to keep asking, you know, in stillness, in silence. Whereas the ego, I'd like to say, it's like first fast and furious. You know, it's out of the horse out of the stable. It's like running. And it's going to interpret based on the agenda that it's already decided of unforgiveness or the forgiveness, as Joe said, by the egos, which is really to, you know, I forgive to destroy, right? Forgive to destroy or forgive, but I never forget. All those versions. And we're like really looking for the real healing. Like, we don't want facsimile or, you know, pretend healing. We want the real, you know, the real deal here. So, yeah. Thank you, Joe. Thank you for that. Yeah. Okay. I see Mary's back. So let's see if we, okay.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, it's clear. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, wow, this is great. Thank you for sharing that part of the movie, Seema, that it's just the pure innocence just shines through. It's like, it's fascinating that a child brought that, was able to remind him of his innocence. And I noticed that she wiped his tears. You know, it's like she had no problem with reaching up and wiping his tears away. And just, you know, it's like she knows nothing but love, and it reminded him that, of who he is. And thank you, Joe, for your expression of true forgiveness and what it really is. And it is self-forgiveness. And I'm really getting that more and more clearly. And Holy Spirit has been guiding me in so many ways. A lot of darkness, like Hazel, has come up, and there's been a lot of tears and a lot of emotion. And I'm getting to see, this morning I opened up an email from Father Richard Rohr, and he was talking about us on the path of descent. And he said that we're now entering the path of suffering, and we've avoided suffering and avoided the path of descent. Because who wants to go there? You know, it brings up so much of the pain that's lurking down underneath. It's covering that light. It's like the door is closed and we're having to open hearts again. And we really don't even remember how. So it's in giving it over for Spirit to show me how, because, I can't do it alone. I've got the willingness though, and that's all I need. So I'm, but last night, gosh, it's amazing. Phil and I, my husband, our story has been so up and down for so many years. And here we were last night trying to, you know, decide what we wanted to do. He's getting ready to leave and go hunting. We were like, what do we want to watch tonight? And we went through, you know, do you want to watch these movies? Do you want to watch some more Downton Abbey, which always brings us both to a place of joy, you know, just watching. And it all of a sudden, this movie comes on and we start watching it, and it's like we couldn't stop. And it was like, we've seen this before and maybe we'll watch it sometime again, but we couldn't stop. And it was Forrest Gump, that great philosopher. And so what comes to me is a scene that really hit me profoundly. And it was so humorous. It was good to laugh and it was good to cry. But there was a scene where Forrest was, had said, the best part about getting shot in the buttocks is all the ice cream. And then they showed him, yeah, I know you can't help but laugh. And they showed him with two ice cream cones, and he's licking his ice cream cone and just in total bliss, just, oh, loving it. And then he goes over and he says, Lieutenant Dan, you know, who's in this hospital bed right next to him, and all his anger and pain and angst and just, you know, just furious with Forrest for saving him, says, Lieutenant Dan, I brought you some ice cream. Lieutenant Dan reaches over for it and he takes it, picks up the bedpan and throws it in it. And then what was powerful is Forrest just kind of went, and he went right back and started licking that ice cream cone. In total, you know, it's just like, he never went to a resistance or anger with Lieutenant Dan ever. He always exhibited pure love. And Forrest, what I saw in that movie last night was he had no special relationships. All of his relationships were holy. They were holy encounters. He didn't meet anyone that he couldn't love. You know, it was, you know, the whole history of all these characters. There's Richard Nixon and John F. Kennedy, and they shot him and his brother, and, you know, and he says it was such innocence. Like, I don't really know why they did that, but, you know, he never went to anything, but he was the light. And, you know, it's like when he was running, all these people started coming to him. And I saw that that's what it is. He's just doing what his guidance says. He's just following the love in his heart that's telling him what to do. And people are so drawn to that. So really, it was, you know, he is a great philosopher. And when he said that line, I may not be a smart man, but I know what love is. Mm. And I felt that so deeply. It's like he was hurt deeply that, you know, he wanted Jenny to marry him. Jenny was his total pure love, you know, but he totally wanted her to have whatever she needed. And, you know, it all came to him, but not in timing. like the world needs. You know, it's like when you don't have a special relationship, you're willing to let God do it, let love do it. And that's what he was able to do and ended up, you know, with this beautiful child. And, you know, he's sitting. Yeah, there's so many scenes that are so powerful now that I can see them from those eyes of forgiveness. And I want to be Forrest Gump. I want to be the love. I want to be able to give the ice cream cone, whether it's accepted or not. And the only way I can do that is to keep enjoying mine, keep loving mine from that pure place of innocence. It's innocence that I am. I'm not guilty like the man took in your film took on the guilt, and that then everything went wrong. And then when he started walking out the door, in his love and confidence that, you know, the light had come back in, the soldiers, he walked right past the soldiers. They didn't even exist anymore. It was like he was just walking in his own love of innocence. It's innocence. And I'm seeing that we've been in this blameful place. And so here we are in this world now that appears to be falling apart, but we're also turning to love. And returning to innocence, and we're all in this together. And it's like, I don't know. It's all a gift, and I'm seeing it as like that. And it's, yeah, I'm seeing so many things that are showing me who I really am, the love that I am, and the true forgiveness that's coming in rather than the forgiveness of the past and trying to forgive from an angry heart. And it's impossible. It's just impossible. I've got to find the love and innocence inside, and then forgiveness is just natural. So yeah, that's what's coming up for me. It's, you know, releasing all the resistance. It's time for it. It's my time to truly forgive and truly forgive me and just return to love. That's what I'm about. So thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you so much. Thank you for reminding us of that wonderful movie. That was beautiful. Thank you. Okay.
Hey, Mary.
Yeah.
Mary, I just wanted to tell you how much I like your backdrop there. as you're speaking, it's almost like Jesus is speaking through you, you know. And as I get to know more of you, I can see how once the world was upside down, now it's sideways. And your testimonies, all of you, it's maybe slightly different levels of understanding, and it's starting to right the world up in love. And it's so encouraging to see that, because that's what I really believe the true purpose of this pandemic is. It's to give us opportunities to take the time we need to really change our mind about what's important. And how we want to live the rest of our time here. And so thank you for your stories and Hazel for having the strength to actually take a look at what needs to be healed and then have the willingness and courage to actually to do it. So thank you very much.
Lauren, I thought I saw your... Did you want to express? Yeah.
Joe, you like spoke. It was really funny because I was thinking that I was formulating what I wanted to say, and then you just kind of said it for me on the whole forgiveness piece. Because I've been noticing the last few days that I'm really good at letting go of people in situations, but I'm not very good at forgiving myself. So I'm really glad that that seemed to be a large topic of today's discussion. So I kind of have a little bit of a direction to move in the next few days. Yesterday after the call in the evening, I went and I burned a bunch of stuff from a past relationship that ended like 3 years ago. And it was one that it was probably my dearest relationship for 14 years. And it ended pretty much without a resolve. So, and it ended rather badly. We took a break and it ended just, you know, without a, what do you call it? Not a resolve, but like there was no resolution or any kind of, I'll never understand why it ended. Part of today, I had my camera off for a while because I was crying so much. Because I finally was able, because yesterday when I was burning stuff, I was with two of my friends, so I was joking about a lot of stuff, so I didn't really feel comfortable, like, processing the emotions then, but today, during the meditation, I was finally able to process the emotions around it. But I think, you know, over the last 3 years, I've slowly gone through the emotional letting go in bits and pieces, but I think this was the last bit. But I think part of the issue I continue to run into is that radical acceptance of there will be no resolution. The silence is a response. And just that's always been, like, even though I've continued to tell myself that I have moved on and I don't think about this person, I have a friend of mine who is really close with me, and he brought up the other day that, you know, I'm still subconsciously not even aware of the fact that I'm still waiting for this person to respond to me in a way, you know. So I don't know how to kind of separate, if that makes sense, that kind of soul level desire. And kind of accept that on that soul level, that this is done.
Yeah. Are you asking for some support here?
Yeah.
You
should have specified.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so beautiful to express that when you said soul level, like of, you know, something that really goes deep. It goes deep to the core. And it's like a part of you. So how do you let go of something that seems to be, you know, a part of you? And I feel like what's coming to my mind is I had something like that, experience like that. And I remember praying. And I remember saying, like, to Jesus or God, and saying, you know, this is love, like love. And I remember this voice telling me that you don't really know what love is. You don't really know what love is. And I didn't want to hear that at that point, like, because I felt like I did know. I felt like I did know. But it was an opening, because it was trying to show me about a love and then pain. You know, where there is love and there is pain, and that a love that can be lifted above that, where there isn't this pain, there isn't this pain. And so for me, it was a real unwinding from even the idea of what love is. You know, what is it? Like, I almost had to, like, come to this beginner's space and say, like, show me. I don't understand. I don't understand. Because, you know, we have so many ideas in our culture about soulmates and about all of these things, and they draw us, because we do feel I mean, I feel like a soul connection with everyone here, you know, every one of us has been sharing and we've been coming together and there's been such love and transparency. So those are all soul connections, but they're not like special, you know, like in that sense, if we were to say that, like it's not limited, you know, it's not that way. So I feel like, it's so beautiful if just in what you're doing to like invite spirit in or God or goddess or however you relate, like help me right here. Cause my mind, if I'm feeling pain and sorrow and I've done the part where I've expressed it and I've shared it. So I'm not trying to push it down, but now I want to move through it. So then there must be some ideas and beliefs and concepts that I need to expose and be shown, like I believe this. So sometimes maybe, like I love to write, so like you could open up a book, you know, a journal or something on your computer, and on one side or one document, all my ideas about love, all my beliefs, all that, and just to empty it. And then when you feel like, you know, a little done with that, it might be a process you come back to. On the page that's blank, just kind of wait and see what spirit would say to you, what comes. Because sometimes when we've emptied, then it's like a window, like the little girl opening the window, the door open, so then something can come. But I feel like your willingness and your desire is going to be your, like your torch. It's your light. It's your light. So, you know, the will, you know, there's a beautiful lesson in the course, you know, God's will for me is perfect happiness. So if there's a love and there isn't this perfect happiness, there's a sense of loss, a sense of, you know, something not coming back, like love is flowing, but it's not coming back, or there's any of that. Then we know that there is some healing that's needed, you know? And so us, just like you're saying, you know, we're offering it, and then work with me, spirit, work with my mind, show me. So sometimes emptying and then waiting, that just might be a way to, you know, open and receive.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? I wanted to, Hazel, something you said, we have like about 2 minutes. I had this experience where I sent out an email about these gatherings. I shared it with Mary to someone who I thought it might be helpful, right? I was wanting to be truly helpful, and I sent it out, and she was someone in India that I had connected with because she was doing some work with Jerry Jampolsky and attitudinal healing. So I thought, you know, there was a framework of ACIM and all of that. And I thought, yeah, I saw her on Facebook and I just felt the prompt like, oh, let me let her know, you know, maybe she wants to join. Maybe someone else in the community would want to join. And she was like, yeah, thank you. Send it. And I did. So, then I got this email back, and she said, the email basically said that, you know, whatever you're teaching, it might work out for you Westerners. That's how I said, but this is not what we do as India. You know, this is not the way we do it. And I just was like, oh my God, like what happened? You know, I felt like this energetic, like, oof, someone just slapped me. Like, oof, that hurt. And then I started to notice in my mind some doubt thoughts, like, did I do something wrong? Like, you know, what happened? So I started to feel that. And then, I sent her an email back because there was like, you know, usually the newsletters, there's a whole, I try to describe it, and then there's the links to the recordings. So I said, well, did you listen to the recording? Because, you know, I'm just curious. And another email, no, I didn't even listen to the recording because your language just was whatever, and I didn't even want to do it. So it was like another, like, ooh, ouch. And so I sat with that, and I had to sit with it. And, I said, okay, I'm going to talk to my mom about this, because in my mind, she's the true Indian. Like, she's my gold standard of what it means to be Indian and all that. So in my mind, again, that India, America, I'm like, here we go again. That old conflict, it's coming up again. Wow. But I saw it as that. Spirit gave me the vision. I said, okay, this is what this is coming from. So the purpose started to change. it just started to change. So I just stopped. I did not feel called to like, well, the mind was feeling like what I should say, how I should explain to her. Maybe she didn't understand. I want to make sure she understands. I was watching it, but I didn't act on it. Like I wasn't putting there. So I was watching the mind and then joining with, you know, other people just to process it, because I could feel like, okay, this is the coronavirus is going to bring up every little scrap. So of course, Seema, here it goes. It's coming up, that Indian American thing, you know, you're not Indian enough. You're not American enough, whatever. So I just saw it as that. And then I prayed and I asked and I said, you know, Spirit, I thought I was listening to a prompt and I sent it. So what happened here? Why is it, you know, this? And what I heard was, you heard totally correctly. I heard, you heard correctly, but I'm just asking you to plant seeds. It is not your responsibility to what seed takes and what doesn't take. That is not your responsibility. So don't put your energy there. You know, you keep planting the seeds. You're just planting the seeds. You don't know. You don't know when it's going to take root, when, and, you know, keep your focus here. And that was really reassuring. It was really reassuring. And so then I just let myself sit with it and I forgot about her. See, I forgot about her. So it's like the outer perception brought inside. What is this about? Into prayer. The healing is given. The forgiveness is given. Forgiving of myself. Like, did I do wrong? Am I not listening? Self-forgiveness. And then the mind forgot. I totally forgot about her. And then as I was going through the email, I just sent her an email saying, you know, I was doing this to be truly helpful. That was my desire. If this is not helpful for you, please feel free to unsubscribe, you know, totally free. So I just felt like, you know, there was freedom for her, freedom for me. My mind is clear. And thank you. Thank you for helping me purify. Thank you for that, you know, clarification. So I just thought I would just throw it out there that, you know, we're going to have those experiences. We're going to have those experiences, but let's not stop planting seeds. Let's not stop planting seeds. You know, let's continue. Let's continue. And, in the summer, we're going to have a beautiful garden. I feel like let's put our, you know, the bulbs and the two, you know, this is the times, like let's put those in and let's together take care of this beautiful garden. All right. Yeah. So let me just, oops. Nope. I don't want to do that. I want to just, yeah, you can either unmute yourself or I'm just going to unmute everyone so we can just, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. That was truly helpful. And just appreciate everyone's support and just grateful. Lots of gratitude for putting this on the altar and just kind of getting it off my chest.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you all for your gifts and your stories and your love.
Thank you. Much love, much gratitude, much blessing. Thank you. Bye.